is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guardian Radio Today is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
And welcome to the Tuesday, September 9th edition of Guardian Radio Today. I am your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusa Ra. I do pray that you are having a wonderful day. The sun is out again, and a little bit of rain in the sun. So it's humid right now. I think we've had enough of summer, so I'm happy to see the weather kind of starting to change. But in any event, we have a great show lined up for you today. I have a special guest that's going to be joining us in just a second. And before I bring him in, I want to just, for those of you who are not in my blast, right? I just want to give you a little heads up on what today's show is about. I was speaking to our guest recently, and he used a term, which is part of the title for today's show. He used the term rum shop politics, and I smiled. And so today's show is entitled Rum Shop Politics versus Transformational Politics. Rum shop politics versus transformational politics. Let me just tell you a little bit about who my guest is, all right? Dr. Rudolph Tinker, all right? Dr. Tinker has an extensive background in the field of law, construction, and academia. He has taught extensively at Palm Beach State College, Central Texas College, American Public University, and Everest University, offering courses in political science, criminal justice, and homeland security. His teaching and research emphasize the connection between law, governance, and practical application. I see the practical application part. I want to talk about that today, right? He also is a member in good standing at the prestigious Lincoln's Inn in the United Kingdom, one of the four inns of court for barristers. He's also a U.S. Army veteran during the global war on terrorism in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a former United States congressional intern, right? He holds many degrees, ultimately, which culminate in a PhD in international studies, as well as in industrial organization. I can go on and on and on, but I just want my guest to ultimately join us today. He's a son of the soil. He's not in the Bahamas today, but he is a son of the soil. Dr. Tinker, how are you, my brother?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Beautiful. Yes.
All right, man. I'm doing well. We're sharing the same muggy temperature.
Well, I know.
Hot and humid. Hot and humid.
Hot and humid. Yes, indeed, my brother. We're trying to make... I pray for those people who don't have air condition, because it is hot. It is hot and muggy. You and I were speaking recently, and we were talking about the political landscape. And I wanted to have this conversation based on the fact that we're in the silly season, as we call it, here in the Bahamas and maybe even around the world. But, you know, an election is looming, and there's a lot of political banter. There's name-calling already going on. There's... nominations taking place, candidates are canvassing their respective communities, looking for votes, etc. So we're in that time. And Bahamians, we love politics, right? We love politics is like a sport for us, right? We love politics. But you use the term rum shop politics. And I pause. I say, man, you couldn't have said it any better. We will sit down and have these, you know, grandiose conversations that really don't lead anywhere. That really don't, they don't really lead anywhere. They don't really make any real distinction between the various political parties. It turns into a cult of personalities and who I like and et cetera, et cetera. And so, Dr. Tinker, I wanted to bring you in here because you want to talk a little political history and whatever else comes up. But before we even dive into the conversation, this term rum shop politics, when did you first encounter rum shop politics and when did you realize this was a thing?
Well, let me just put it out there that it's not really defined in political science. Mm-hmm. As a term, but traveling throughout the Caribbean and understanding post-colonial countries, and especially during the time I was a little active in Nassau, observing the different political parties and hearing people talk, mm-hmm. I've came up with this term to say it's that many people, and it's true, the political parties, mm-hmm. that's how this term came about, because people in the Bahamas and other Caribbean countries, they know a whole lot of rum politics. Mm. But like you said, it doesn't culminate to anything because rum politics is not how the government functions. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a game of dominoes behind someone's house.
Mm. Yes.
You know, because that doesn't, every discussion, or they'll even say, you know, oh, well, Brave is my boy, or Minnis is my boy, or Perry is my boy, and mm-hmm. I's a general, and I's this, and we can do it like this, and I putting this guy here and there. The country doesn't supposed to really run that way.
Right.
But these people have these conversations, and so intimate, even you hear them on the radio, mm-hmm. but yet they don't understand how the government really works.
Right.
And that's a distinct difference. Mm-hmm. Now, the rum shop politics, because some of your politicians come out of this rum shop politics conversation, they go to the government with the same ideology. Not all of them, but some of them.
Right.
And this is the reason why you continue to get the same thing after every cycle, mm-hmm. and nothing much changes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because again, okay, what could these conversations do? What could they turn into? And when you get there, you realize there's a whole roadblock because that type of discussion doesn't translate into anything. It's almost like it's like a grassroots type conversation, mm-hmm. based on a lot of opinions, rumors, and political views, but none of that correlates to law and order and the function of the government. Mm-hmm. You know, these are just conversations that could get heated from time to time, but it never makes it to the paper.
Right.
It never makes it to Parliament. It never makes it into amending the Constitution. It never makes it into making the lives better for Bahamians, reducing the burden on Bahamians. Mm-hmm. Doesn't culminate to anything.
Right.
But it's very heated up for election.
Right. Right.
I mean, the latest conversation we saw the other day is with my good friend. I wouldn't say a good friend, but I know him. I would say he's a good friend because he's a senior person. He was also my former member of Parliament, Leslie Miller. And Leslie Miller been around for a long time. And
he's a political dinosaur, yes.
He said something that any senior person would say, mm-hmm. without taking any backlash. Mm. But we saw how that turned out into something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not pushing to either side, but this is some of the things we're talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's very, and it's not just the Bahamas. It's throughout the Caribbean, and it's actually throughout a lot of colonial countries. Mm-hmm. You know, now, the United States was a former colonial, but I really don't see that type of conversation here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't see politicians going door to door, knocking on doors, or fixing someone's house, or doing these other things that expands and bring this rum politics to life, because the Bahamas is a democracy, but it's more of a direct democracy.
where the people, where the government and the people directly interact with each other, mm-hmm. which is a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have good leaders to take advantage on this direct connection to the people and do good on the basis of the people through something called popular sovereignty, which is the power rests with the people, these so-called parliamentary-type governments could do good. But the problem is, you don't see that.
Right.
They don't take advantage of the power that the prime minister has, the power to appoint, the power to legislate, and to get things passed immediately, unlike the U.S. where things could be in a gridlock.
Right.
But in these small countries and parliamentary systems, it's very easy to get things done, but we don't see that direct benefit.
So I am happy you said that, right, because you made the point that many of us just don't know how the government works. I would like for you to just give us your take professionally. You are a student of and teacher of political science. How does the government work here in the Bahamas?
So we can move towards this transformational politics a little
yeah.
bit. But when I look at, I went to C.W. Sawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not that old, but I don't think I can remember one thing besides Christopher Columbus at C.W. Sawyer.
Right. Right.
And then I would have went to H.O. Nash probably for a year, and I don't remember them telling me one thing beyond Christopher Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have went to A.F. Adley, and again, that limits me to Christopher Columbus.
My Lord.
But nothing in the study to understand how does this government work? Why did we separate from England?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why did we remain in the Commonwealth?
Yes.
What was the thinking of Sir Lyndon Pilden when he decided to do A, B, and C?
Yes.
What's the theology or the theory behind Hubert Ingraham when he decided to open up the radio waves and give something to additional Bahamians?
Right.
What's the understanding of Dr. Minnis, of Perry Christie, or your current prime minister? There's nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And you go to the one COB, which is now the University of the Bahamas, a program of political science doesn't exist. I think the only guy I remember teaching some courses over there, he died, I forgot his name.
Mr. Bethely, Felix Bethely.
Felix Bethel. Mm-hmm. And even in that course, it was a bunch of articles and stuff put together, but not a centralized book. And not even a course of study to say, hey, you need to know this. We need to put this in your face so you understand how the government works and how it functions. So you're able to petition the government, which is a fundamental freedom that you have in the Bahamas. So when you see something going wrong, you could petition them now. You don't have to wait for 5 years later. Oh, I can get you back at the phone. No. Let's do it now. Why wait 5 years? 5 years to me is too long.
Yes.
It's like a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
If the government's doing something wrong now, petition them now. Don't wait for 5 years.
And you would do that through your local, to your MP, or how?
You would do the way it's set up. And so let's go into the construction of the government. But you would do that through your MP to petition the government directly through a bunch of signatures. So one small comparison, and we're not saying nothing positive or negative about either side. But when you look at, and the U.S. is not a perfect place, because even it didn't coin the term democracy, because that came from Greece in the early days, but it finessed the term democracy. When it separated from the U.K., in 1776 through a formal declaration. And I want you to make this clear distinction, because we're going to talk about how the Bahamas separated. But when you look at how the U.S. separated, they hated the crown so much that everything they put in their constitution was directly against the crown. Everything.
Wow.
From the amendments to the structure of government, they hated it all. And that is what created the U.S. Constitution.
Okay.
And before this document was even conceived and accepted by the 13 colonist states, it was amended 10 times.
Yeah.
Because they realized certain things was not in there. As simple as the writ of a search warrant. Back then, the king had the power to say, hey, I'm coming in your house. Open up. Let me check. Well, I'm going to put you in jail. Let's go. But no recourse. The U.S. said, hey, we can't have this.
Right.
We want to put protection against the state for the people in this document.
Right.
So when we look at the Bahamas, I mean, again, I would say Sir Lyndon Pillin and those guys, they were very happy to have the opportunity to have the conversation for independence. But when they got that document, which is their constitution, they were slightly involved in that. But that document was already crafted by the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And say, hey, this is the platform for you to run with. We're going to make some changes in here based on your jurisdiction, but this is the platform you need to run with.
They had a template, essentially.
Jamaica, Trinidad, mm-hmm. Barbados, St. Lucia, you name it. They all had the same, really identical templates.
Mm-hmm.
The uniqueness of those templates was the local states, the local statutes to your jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, we adopted this document from the UK, which they don't even have a constitution.
Right. That's true.
Their constitution is not written anywhere.
Right.
Because there's a rules of 1,000 years accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
And they can run with that.
Right.
But here is this document. Put a pipe and smoke it and go back home and run your country with this.
Mm.
But when we look at what they did to that document, they made it a replica of the parliamentary Westminster system to say all powers rest with the prime minister.
Mm.
And your head of state is the Queen of England, true a governor general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how that was set up.
Right.
And you would have to appeal to the Privy Council and use the England courts as the highest court of the land, because when you set up your court systems, they have no precedent cases,
right,
or law cases to start,
right,
charging, use our cases.
Mm, wow.
Okay. And then when we look at this as time goes on, the Bahamas kept itself in a it's like a very antique car, and you don't want to sell this car. You just want to put some Bondo on it. So they've been Bondoing this thing since 1973 without any major radical changes. Because if you had, the Constitution of the Bahamas was not really amended, no major radical amendments since 1973 to this day.
Wow.
Okay, so the Bahamians, a lot of the Bahamians don't understand this document in entirety. Not all of them now. I'm saying a lot of them don't understand, because it's not taught at a young age.
Yeah.
The importance of it, is not instilled. So when I reach around grade 7 or 8, I already know how this thing works.
Yeah.
And when I reach in grade 12, I don't know how this thing works more, because now I'm approaching 17 or 18 and I know who I want to vote for.
Right.
I'm not voting for who daddy telling me to vote for. But hey, there's four PLP off in this house and they all vote in the same. Oh, no, daddy, no, no. You vote PLP. I vote in different because I don't think that this guy is governing the country correct. I'm voting for my future, not your future.
Mm.
So this rumshot politics then is passed down to the younger generation who don't know any better because they haven't been taught or they don't understand how this thing works. And they just follow suit in many cases of their parents. Not everybody now. I don't want you listening to
this. No, I agree.
Not
I
everybody.
Agree. Right.
But when we look at how it goes, the majority of people are still unintuned to what's in that document and how the government's supposed to function and how the government's supposed to operate. Even members of parliament that go there and get elected, a lot of them don't know how things work.
So essentially, the electorate, we have power even before the election comes. That's what you're saying. Way before. We can petition. We can make some changes without waiting for a general election.
The people of the Bahamas could petition immediately and shut the government down. And within the parliamentary system, when you have situations like that, it's the duty of the prime minister, who's ever in charge at that time, to resign. Call elections early, because you now have a vote of no confidence by the people.
Wow.
Or even within members of parliament, if they decide to give a vote of no confidence against the prime minister, he steps down. We just saw what happened in France.
Mm-hmm.
Macron got a vote of no confidence. Bye-bye. We saw what just happened yesterday in Nepal. The people protested the streets. 19 people were killed. The Nepal prime minister resigned.
Mm.
This is when you understand how the government works.
Mm.
You know, you have that power.
And this is
what happened in Egypt, in right. Libya. Even people might say, well, the CIA and the U.S. government was involved in that. But when you got hundreds of thousands of people on the street demanding change, the government has no authority. Because why?
People are
government mm-hmm. have consent to rule. Mm-hmm. It's a social contract theory. I elect you to make laws to protect me. But when that contract is broken, you got to go. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's powerful, you know, Rodney Moncur line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to understand how powerful it is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. No, this is so important because I don't think, when you talk politics to especially the younger generation, I don't think many of them are even interested because they don't really feel like there's any real power in politics, you know, outside of, you know, political favor. You understand?
Exactly.
So I wanted to have this conversation just to kind of spark the interest and spark the conversations that I know could potentially come out of this conversation based on us understanding that we as the electorate, we have a power, that we don't necessarily, we're not aware of it. And because of that, we just complain, we call the talk shows, you know, we sit in the rum shop, we play, you know, dominoes and talk, but we're not actually being active. And so early in the show, you mentioned why did Selinden Pinlan stay a part of the Commonwealth? You know, that this idea of what was happening around 1967, 1973. I've heard many great stories about what they had expected to do or wanted to do, and those things didn't fully manifest. Some things did, but everything didn't manifest. From your vantage point, what say you?
So in my opinion, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, I give many props to Selinden Pinlan because, you know, he went off to the UK, got educated, and came back home to give back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Came back home to give back. Because sometimes you got to leave. You mm-hmm. got to go away.
Yep.
And many of the early, call them forefathers of the Caribbean, a lot of them went off to school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eric Williams.
Yeah.
You name them. They all went away to understand how government worked.
Yeah.
And how government functioned. Mm-hmm. They didn't go away and went in the rum shop and came back home and took the country.
No.
They went away and got detailed instructions and understanding on how this thing worked. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't know how it worked, you can't petition the crown for independence because you don't know how it worked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so his original plan was, you know, when he went away, he, you know, they were looking for full sovereignty, nation building, foreign policy. He had an economic plan to run tourism. He had a plan for over-the-hill troop diversification. And he had this idea of Bahamian first policy. Mm-hmm. Put Bahamians first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he created the College of the Bahamas because he believed in education. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He pushed, and that's how come he went so overwhelmingly because of the social inequalities of the country at that time. He wanted Bahamians to be equal.
Mm-hmm.
And Bahamians can go anywhere and go in any building and no matter the color you're in, you're Bahamian first.
Right.
Okay? But the problem lies is that, and we see this a lot with a lot of the first prime ministers of post-colonial countries, they hang around for too long.
Mm.
And then that vision becomes dull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that vision becomes dull. I would say, you know, after the first, I would say if he had took 15 and say bye-bye and ride off to the wilderness, it would have been good. Give someone else a chance with new ideas to continue on what he was doing.
Right.
But sometimes you hang around too long, a lot of these goals and things, they get pushed by or pushed to the side and never come to fruition because you're now being lobbied by so much exterior forces for a bunch of favors, Bahamians get pushed to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bahamians get pushed to the side. But one of the reasons he really stayed, or the initial government stayed under the Commonwealth, because remember I told you about that antique car and you put a little bondo in it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an existing system already.
Okay.
You know, why recreate the wheel when we could run with this wheel and we could try to finesse it to to our jurisdiction. And that's one main reason why they stayed under the Commonwealth system. And many countries didn't petition it early on, except for Trinidad, who probably was the first country in the Caribbean, if I recall, that became a republic, mm-hmm. because they felt they needed to make this more like them and not like the UK. And when we had United States, when they separated from England, they cut ties on everything mm-hmm. except the language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just say, we don't want this at all.
Right, right.
But when you look at what the PLP inherited from the UK, they inherited a system of politarianism, whereas this prime minister is like a king. And many Bahamians don't understand that, and many people in parliamentary system don't understand how powerful the prime minister really is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The prime minister is an extension of the king. The prime minister has the power to appoint the chief of police with no interpretation or ratification from anyone. This is my man. Go sit over there. Well, let me clear that up, because you might say, well, after having talks with the governor general, let's just make this clear. The governor general is a null position.
Mm.
The governor general has no authority at all. It's a ceremonial position. So when I give little interest to this position, it's because the position has no authority.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister has all the authority. The prime minister is the main fella. Even in England, the king has no authority.
Mm.
His rule is to say hi, kiss babies, and sign documents ceremonially.
Right.
The king of England lost all that power under the Magna Carta years ago when the wealthy landlords say, hey, bro, you're taxing us too much.
Mm-hmm.
So either you give up some of this power, let's create a prime minister, or we're chopping your head off.
Mm.
And okay, well, let me make a prime minister
right.
and I'll cut my power.
That's what I would have said.
So when you look at a prime minister, right?
Mm.
He has unlimited powers. He appoints the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He appoints the governor general. He selects his cabinet.
Mm.
Right? He selects the cabinet. And he controls the legislature.
Right.
Because in the Bahamas, you have a system of 50. Which means you only need 50 plus one to pass anything.
Right.
You don't really need an opposition. The opposition makes noise. But the opposition cannot stop any rule from really going through because the prime minister has 50 plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody in the prime minister cabinet or on the prime minister team votes against him, they have to resign.
I was just about to ask you that, you know. That's deep.
The famous, what's the guy named of the marathon under Perry Christie? Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald, yes, yes.
What's Fitzgerald say? Man, look, yeah, I want to keep this car and I need to keep this job and that extra money. I can't vote against it.
Right.
When you look at Dr. Hubert Minnis, when the young fella, two or three of them went against Dr. Minnis, but they resigned, became backbenchers.
Yes, 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 yes.
So when you understand how this parliamentary system works, and you understand the power of the prime minister, the power of the prime minister is like a monarch.
Mm-hmm.
He's very powerful. And because he's so powerful, he can get anything he wants done. So all this waste of time and gaslighting in parliament and making all this noise, man, look here. Go and get things done because you have the right to do it. And any law that's passed by the prime minister is law. He doesn't need the interpretation of the judicial branch, which is the third branch of government. He doesn't need them because the prime minister's supremacy supersedes that of the judiciary.
Mm.
Now, when you understand what I just said there, and now let's look at another democracy, and I'll pause.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the U.S. system.
Right.
The U.S. is not having that.
Right.
We want absolute separation of powers, and we want checks and balance. Now, a lot of people in the Bahamas will tell you, oh, we have three branches of government, and we have separation of power. But what I just explained to you clearly says you don't have separation of powers when the prime minister can control everything.
Mm-hmm. And appoint everybody.
By appointment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Within the United States, you have the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary, just like the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature, the difference between the legislature in the United States and the legislature in the Bahamas is that the congressmen and the senators don't ride in on the coattail of a prime minister, of the president.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be voted in individually.
Right.
And they owe their respect directly to their constituents and not the prime minister, the president. So they could vote against the president.
Wow.
And their sole job is to make law. to legislate law. So that's their job. Okay? The president has nothing to do in that body, because the president, when we get to the executive, his job is to execute the law.
Right.
I mean, to enforce it, my bad, to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when we look at the legislature, their job is to interpret what comes out of Congress, the legislative branch, to make sure it's not unconstitutional, or they will strike it down.
Right.
In the Bahamas, the judiciary can't do that. At all. The judiciary in the Bahamas and the UK and many of the British Commonwealth, they don't have something called judicial review.
Mm-hmm.
Judicial review is the power of the courts to reject certain things from the government that they deem unconstitutional. It doesn't exist in this type of a system. Whereas, let's say the legislation want to push a bill through, the president signs on it, it comes to the judiciary can say, hey, this is unconstitutional. Either make changes or we're rejecting it. So they will go back and make changes, send it back to the judiciary so they could look at it, review it, and then make it law, or they just say no. And right. There's no overriding the judiciary at all.
Wow.
So when we look at how the president in the United States would appoint a judge, he has the same appointment authority like the prime minister, but the difference in his appointment and the prime minister appointment is that that appointment is not the last say.
Right.
So when the president appoints a chief justice or one of his secretaries, they have to get ratified through the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the legislature have to vote on them 50 plus one to say, yeah, we want this guy in. That doesn't happen in the parliamentary system.
Wow.
So that right there bastardized this separation of power between the three branches.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no oversight.
Yeah.
Prime Minister of the Bahamas could say, hey, Chief Justice, come tomorrow, turn your resignation in, brother. Chief of Police, I had a bad dream last night. Come turn your reservation, your resignation. He could fire his whole cabinet. He could shake it up.
Yeah, shuffle it and whatever, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he appoints all those cabinet ministers with no oversight. They don't go through, they don't have to get confirmed through the opposition. You know, the opposition might talk about it.
Right.
And or have a say on it, and the governor general might have to sign off on it, but there's no real authority to block him. Because if the governor general say, we ain't want this guy, well, guess what? Governor general, give me your resignation now. if Pintad say, I don't like these couple of people, okay, Pintad, that's your prerogative. They go in the cabinet anyhow.
Right.
You see how different it is?
No, this is an important conversation because, you know, we have a lot of young voters that I don't think hear these conversations enough. You know, our guest today, our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, we're talking, you know, rum shop politics versus transformational politics, and just getting some insight from the vantage point of one of the sons of the soil who's in the U.S. right now. But your calls are vital to making this show successful. So we're going to open the phone lines when we come back after this break. Keep it locked here on 96.9 FM.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
A Chikchani Challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chikchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chikchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChikchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water shutters, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Experience Marco's Pizza, incredible deals paired with unmatched taste and quality. Order now to take advantage of these limited time offers. This summer, indulge with Marco's Get Two Large One Topping Pizzas with and choose between a cheesy bread or Cine Squares for just $27.50. Upgrade to chocolate Cine Squares for only $1 more. Or enjoy a large pizza with cheesy bread with a 2-liter soda for $22.50. Don't miss out. Act fast. Order now for carryout or delivery at marcospizzabahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio Today. We are streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com. Of course, we're also on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow 612. Special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, a political scientist, a lawyer, contractor. I mean, he's a multi-talented individual. He's a son of the soil, and we're talking rum politics, rum politics versus transformational politics. Producer, our phone lines are working today. All right, he's checking the phone lines, but. Let me just get you ready for that. But it's the phone lines are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and the family of violence is 242-300-5720. I see our producer is doing some work on the phone lines. I don't think they're quite up second, but he's working on it. Our text line, however, is powered by BTC, and that is up 422-4796 422-4796. So you can bring your text through. This one texter is bringing up Chrissy Love. Say, man, they miss Chrissy Love. They know both of us from being on the Chrissy Love show. So definitely, big shout outs to Chrissy Love. I know she's in Florida as well. So Dr. Tinker, you know, we. Okay, the phone lines are up. All right, so we're going to take the first call in just a second. We're as a nation, not necessarily as in tune with the cogs and the innards of our political system the way we need to be. Like you said, you went through C.W. Sawyer, H.O. Nash, A.F. Adley, and you didn't really learn much about how the country works politically. Which is why this conversation is so. You know what? The phone line's up. Let me run to this caller and see what they're saying. We only have about 10 minutes until the news, so let's get some calls in and see what Dr. Tinker has to say. Caller, you're live on Guardian Radio today.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir? I thought about you.
Listening to your guest, voice, you said he's Dr. Tinker.
Yes, Rudolph Tinker.
And I think he has some things that are incorrect when it comes to the Constitution.
Okay.
The Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Now, I'm not going to disagree with him what he said about the office of Prime Minister. I describe it as a gigantic octopus
mm-hmm.
that spreads its tentacles into every single facet of Bahamian life right into your bedroom, you could know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of the office of prime minister. Now, here's the catch.
Mm-hmm.
What has been happening over the last 52 years? The Bahamian electorate has been able to give a one particular party an overwhelming majority of seats, both the PLP and the FNM.
Mm-hmm.
So the couple of people they have in opposition doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how hard they try.
Right.
What has to happen is Parliament, which is separate from the administration, which is separate from the judiciary, although he says there's no separation. That's his view, and I'm not knocking him for that, but it's not constitutionally sound. That's point number one.
Okay.
There is a separation of powers. What has been happening is personalities who have been elected are not standing up to speak for their constituents. That's where the real problem is. Parliamentarians can stand up and speak. They don't have to listen to no prime minister.
Mm.
The prime minister does not control parliament. It would appear to be that way because you have the elected personalities bowing and shanking to a particular personality. That's where the real problem is.
Mm.
And you give all of this power, all of the seats. You got one man who appoints, well, let's put it this way. He recommends persons to be in those many different positions. The governor general has certain powers. All he got to do is check Article 12, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him, look at Article 12 of the Constitution. And there are certain powers the governor general has to perform, and there's nothing in that article that says the Governor General has to wait for the Prime Minister.
Okay, let me interject a second. Let me interject a second.
Go ahead.
I know you said you had two things that I said was wrong. I think one of them you're probably saying that the separation of powers, you think you have it, and now you're saying the Governor General.
No. Stop right there. No, I don't think I have it. That's what's in the Constitution.
Okay, all right. So let me just pause on that, okay?
Pardon?
You name me one governor general in all the post-colonial countries that ever tried, prime minister said. The only guy that ever tried that was a Canadian governor general, and he was fired immediately. It doesn't work. The prime minister is the ultimate authority. No matter how you interpret that document, it says it very clear under the rules of the prime minister. He is the chief legislature. He is the chief diplomat. He is the head of the authority in the government. Forget the whole thing about Governor General. That is just a ploy. We could look at England and say, okay, the king is the king of England. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this. But he cannot do anything without the power of the prime minister. That's number one. Number two, you're saying that, okay, The elected officials need to behest to their constituency. That's true. But we've already seen it play out. They don't do it.
Let me clear it.
One second. And the reason the Westminster system and the parliamentary system, the cabinet of the government, must abide by the procedure of the prime minister. They owe that to the prime minister. And if they choose to go against that, they must resign, and we see it all the time, everywhere.
Sir, I don't have a problem with what you just said there, you know.
So there's no dispute that they don't have the authority.
But what I'm saying is Parliament is different from the cabinet.
Now, you have people in there
who may not understand that. That's a problem the Bahamian people have to deal with.
Right, but
the
it's
Constitution
true.
Let's agree on this.
Let's agree on this. That Parliament serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. Can we agree on that?
Say what again?
Parliament serves the Prime Minister cabinet serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister.
No, I don't have any difficulty with that.
Okay, and Parliament is there to legislate the law. But here's the problem in the parliamentary system. You only need 50 plus one.
And the way elections are, they're won on a 50-plus-1 system. So once you get 50-plus-1, you don't need the other 49.
So, I'm not disagreeing with that point.
Okay, I just want to clear that up.
The point I am saying is you have three branches of government. You are saying that is not so. That's not constitutionally sound.
You have
sound.
Three, but it
That's
doesn't
point
work.
Number one.
It doesn't work.
No, no. You may think it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's the quality of the people you send, sir, to do your
you
business.
Could send
now,
anyone.
If you have a situation like they have in this country, where the electorate of this country are giving one particular party all the seats, virtually all the seats, like it is now, 32-7, because the people who are elected believe they have some allegiance to a particular personality to get one job, to get one position, to get some money in their hand.
That's the right of the people to vote to who they want to vote for, and that's why
we're
having this conversation.
I'm not knocking that, sir.
Don't
misunderstand me. No. I'm not knocking who they vote for. What we have in a situation in a country like this is where party politics supersedes the parliamentary process, that the parliamentarian forgets that he is to be a member of parliament for those constituents
and
not a party personality.
I agree with you on that position. That's that rumshaw politics we're talking about. That makes it into the halls of parliament. So I agree with you with that, but I want to just make something clear. Yeah, the Constitution might say you have this so-called separation of power, but when we dissect those layers and when we really look at it, it doesn't function that way because the Prime Minister has too much power. That's all. I just want to make that distinction. It's supposed to work that way, but it doesn't.
Okay, that's your view, and you have a right to that view.
That's not my view. That's
but
the
what
fact.
Has to happen is this, sir. People ought to know what the Constitution says, understand what it says, and act accordingly. That is our real problem in this country. It has never been taught to the Bahamian people over the last 52 years. It has been on the back burner, off the back burner. And so those elected to run the country have ignored it for 52 years. That's a real problem, sir. We'll fix that one. Thank you very much, Oates.
Thank you. You're very welcome, sir. Very welcome.
I like that guy.
He's very knowledgeable on the Constitution.
I had a couple discussions with him before on the radio show.
Yeah.
About that. You see, so his premise is that, yeah, we have this, and yeah, it's supposed to work, but I'm showing you reality.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Right.
It's supposed to work. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and that's the political transformation, is understanding what actually works. Wow.
Exactly.
I see a caller coming through. I know we got to run to the break. Should we let that? Okay, we'll
take it.
I think we're going to run to the break and then we'll take some more calls. So I think we know we have news coming up. But yes, I definitely appreciate, Dr. Tinker, that you are bringing a more functional, practical understanding as to what we're dealing with. You know,
see, I ain't got no horse in the race, or
right?
No goat or chicken in the race. But I can tell you the way it is.
Right. Our special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. You know, we're talking rum shop politics versus transformational politics and more. You know, your calls can come in after the break. We're going to run to the news here on Guardian Radio today, and we'll be back. Keep it locked here on 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to the September 9th edition of Guardian Radio today. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. Special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, who is a man with many hats. Today we have on, he has on his political scientist slash bohemian slash I would even go as far as to say the Rumshop politics hat is also on today, because we're having this conversation about Rumshop politics versus transformation politics. Dr. Tinker, come to the text right quick. There's a texter who was commenting, not to you, but to the last caller, who was talking about the Constitution. They said, the professor is wrong because the Constitution was taught to me, a Bahamian, at UB. Also, Keisha Ellis has a book out, The Constitution, which people read. I think your point, though, Dr. Tinker, was that it needs to be taught much earlier, not starting at UB, correct?
Oh, yeah, totally. It needs to be from, I would say, to tell you the truth, from primary school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it creates that understanding and that higher order thinking and that parental conversation at home at the dinner table, mm-hmm. talk about this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And as we make a comparison in the U.S., I mean, you could say what you want about in your face. It's a requirement to graduate from middle school, high school, and college.
Yeah.
You must. Mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mandatory. All 4 years of high school, the last 2 years of middle school, and you have to take it. They want you to know this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, it's important because ultimately our decisions as voters shape the future of the country.
And future leaders.
That's correct. That's because they're coming out of us. We keep blaming these leaders like they don't come out of us.
Exactly. Know,
right?
Because some of these dinosaur leaders, they think they will hold around as long as Mugabe.
Right.
So they find to keep you dumb as long as they can.
Mm-hmm. That's a crucial point right there. 323-622-3232-54316. 325-4259 in the Family of Islands. 242-300-5720. Of course, our text line today, 422-4796, is powered by BTC. Standard tax rates do apply. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Rum Shop politics versus transformational politics. Caller, what say you today?
I'm calling to correct the doctor also.
Okay, go ahead.
Come on, let's have it.
Okay, politics.
Mm.
It's chicken and rum.
Okay.
That's the two main dishes we're going to get in the season. Okay, so, you know, we're still playing around. That's real talk.
Oh, correct. Can we just say correct?
That's right. Chicken and rum. That's it. Anyway, you know, I think, you know, our callers are off base in terms of the reality of, well, you know, the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's an idea, okay? But it falls flat on its face when it has come up against political expediency.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as Doc said, you know, guys went away to learn the system, right?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's a, you know, a kind of nuanced thing there, you know. That, you know, the goal was going off and learning how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout the Caribbean, they came back, and what they did was they learned to work the system.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm. Okay? You know, see, I don't, I could, we had this talk before.
Yeah.
And we don't see that we are operating within a neo-colonial framework.
Yeah.
And because we are operating in that, there's only certain things that can come out of that, you know. And you know, each 5 years, as I preach, we swear allegiance, you know, with our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They swear allegiance to the Queen and her successors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, we made the mistake of having a problem with America, but it's the only place that is not a democracy. A democracy, okay, it's a republic, and because of it, and because of what America is, all the world, you know, is free to go and come there, even Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that was a another. Now, if America was run on another political construct,
mm-hmm.
We would not be able to exercise the freedom we do.
Mm.
You know, and we tend to get the systems mixed up. You know, and the absolute power that the prime minister has always been a problem for me. You know,
mm-hmm.
Carlton Francis, Gilbert Ingram. A.D. Hanna, Terry Christie,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those guys came under the prime minister's knife.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, you know, and they had no recourse whatsoever, you know, no appeal, you know. Anyway, I just love this conversation, man.
You know, I appreciate you.
I thank you. I thank you, Dr. Tinker.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Powerful.
And the caller made an excellent, because mm-hmm. he basically gave you examples of former prime ministers
mm-hmm.
that came under the long knife of the first prime minister.
Yeah.
But none of them changed the system because
no.
you like it when you get in there.
It's like the Lord of the Rings. Once you get that ring. We got another caller here on Guardian Radio today. Caller, you're live.
Good day, Mr. Innes, and good day to Dr. Tinker. Dr. Tinker, what year did you graduate from here, Bradley?
I would have been the class of 96, so any of my former classmates out there, I like to say hello, but it would have been the class of 96, but I didn't graduate there. I graduated abroad.
Okay. Yeah, I came out with in 81 with Michael Pentar.
Mm.
So you're way behind. But anyway,
yeah.
Hello to you. When you say the Constitution, you're referring to the Constitution as of Independence Day. Our Constitution uses that. Okay. And Professor Thompson said early in his comments earlier that the problem here with the electorate is we have a problem of electing these super majority in Parliament. Remember that?
Yeah, but that's we have no control over that. That's the people votes. They have that authority to vote.
Right, and the representative in Parliament and who we elect to represent us in the constituency hold the power. If we were today in the position we were in 1973, where Randall Fox and the other member of Parliament had the decision of deciding who was going to govern us, and we keep it in a balance, then the members of Parliament and the quality of people we put there can always control who will lead the country, and we wouldn't have this a demigod prime minister. And, you know, who is put as member of Parliament in each constituency and the quality of people that we put there is who would really change the balance of the legislature, the judiciary, and the electorate, right?
In this system, it can't work. You would have to stagger elections. You would have to make sure that each parliamentary member or each MP does not ride on the tailcoat of party politics or the prime minister. So if you stagger it up, where members of parliament are running at different times from a prime minister, or have a system where you elect a prime minister directly. So you would have to probably transfer into republic. But you would have to stagger that up if you want parliamentarians to have independent power. Other than that, it doesn't work in the system.
And that's the point I'm going to, because if you have three or four, remember the dissident eight, if they were, mm-hmm. if they had enough votes to change the balance when they
right.
did and wanted to say, okay, seeing if we want to do this, we're going to go to a republic, and then we would have changed the system. Then they could
yeah.
have said, okay, we're going to sit with the UBP and change the system and have and go to a republic, and we would have a different type of government today. You see
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. You're right. You're right about that. But they would have had to done something like that, or have a powerful third party. We've
right.
seen in a lot of these countries,
even in the United States, you don't have a third party. So it's very difficult, because the way the system works in the Bahamas is that when people are, that vote at that 5 years means so much to them. That means a job, a contract, fix them a roof. Give me one fridge, one stove. Not saying everybody does this. Let me just make sure. That's not everybody. But people use that vote as a sword to get something. And a lot of times they're not even using it to make the country better. This is something that they want to directly benefit them. So that leads to these somewhat rumshop type politics that makes it into parliament.
And these member of parliament go in there on the party politics looking to get a cabinet post and be loyal to their master, who's the leader, or to their party, and refuse to want to give it up, and will not, they will get in a caucus, because they were saying, remember that Christie and Ingram were put out and had to run as independents because there was a group of them that were caucusing to challenge Sir Lyndon, and they had to run as independents, and that's how we had a change. And eventually, after 25 years, Ingram eventually came around and was anointed by Whitfield to lead the FNM and defeat Finland as leader of the country.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow, the phone lines are all lit up. Let's go.
Let's
right.
take it, man. Let's take it.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Next caller. You're live here on Guardian Radio today. Caller going once. All right, let's go to the next caller, producer. Caller, you're live.
Hello.
How you doing?
Not bad.
Great, great.
You know, to your guests, I like to say that money answered all things. So today, you know, how would he build our economy? Would it be this, tourist economy? You know, we have a playground for the hegemonious, you know what I mean, of our hegemonious masters. You understand me? Would we have economy for the workers or legislation for our workers or, you know, livable wage and things like that?
Mm.
You see, and you know, we in the Bahamas, we don't have we have disparities in our constituencies. You know,
we have disparities everywhere.
Yeah, we have constituencies with 6,000 voters and some with 12. You know, and they, it's like the one with 12, they have like three and four times more power of the one with six, the voter with six.
You raise a good point there, and that's why it goes back to this rumshop politics. What are you voting for?
And see,
you've been voting since 1973. What are you voting for?
The people, the day these people come to power without a mandate, meaning they don't ask for nothing. They ask for nothing, so they get nothing. You understand what I'm saying? They, you know, the lobbyists are the employers, and it's them who keep our wages down, and they are lobbied. They lobby the media and the politicians.
Yeah, I just heard something that you're having a discussion about. To take it to $260 a week. The Bahamas is the most expensive country in the Western Hemisphere, and in 2025, you're having a discussion about $260? Are you kidding me?
Let me wake you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Haitian laborer, the guy who makes them more than, you understand me? They ask them for $80 a day. You understand them? That's $10 an hour, not that's $100, and that's like $100, that's $400 a week. You know how much these people sell on where they trying to pay workers. They saying to say, oh, these people need trades or they need more education to make a livable wage. Anyway.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you.
And I'll say something to him, because in my role as in construction, especially as a project manager, I'd worked my last big project, I was working for Ford,
mm-hmm.
not directly, but as a subcontractor with them building the largest EV battery plant literally in the world in Tennessee.
Mm.
I think it was about 3 million square feet.
Wow.
We worked on the one in Memphis, Tennessee, and one in Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about salary, That salary is negotiated directly with the new project.
You
don't leave the salary to the government or to stand under the basic standards of being your country or the subcontractor. So if big companies are coming into the Bahamas to do construction, the Minister of Labor needs, and maybe the Union of Contractors or whatever you got down there, needs to deal directly with the investment company and say, hey, listen, we have a standard for project managers, for construction managers, for superintendents, and for foremen, and their wages, a part of us giving you this deal, they need to be at a thousand a week or whatever. And the company is going to decide whether to say yay or nay or negotiate. But that negotiation should happen before the first shovel of sand is dug.
Yeah.
And that shows that the government is working directly for you. But if these guys want a piece of the pie or something on the side or a kickback or a doggy bike, then why do you think they're going to be concerned with what you make? They're just glad, oh, the government just got 8,000 jobs.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Exactly. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio Today. Our special guest, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, calling you live on Guardian Radio Today.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Ingers, how you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
I won't complain. Mr. Tinker, I think this is a very, very good conversation for our time and our period.
Yeah.
Mr. Tinker, you know, let me tell you something. The reason why they don't push political science, because political science give you a lot of historical research, and it will bring up the Jim Crow, it will bring up the Monroe Doctrine. And if anyone understand the Monroe Doctrine and the Jim Crow, those things still exist.
Mm.
It just may not be talked about as much, but it still gives a level of power between black and white. We have a system where black are still not as equal as the white man in this these third world countries. So we may have three executive branch of government, but it don't work because we still practice in a third world country under the Westminster system. People, better the PLP FNM, you said 50 plus one. The reason why when either the PLP or FNM win, the government has a monopoly on contracts. So when they have their people pushing their MP to their constituent, they march in the road with them, knocking on every time the government wins. You know, there's a list that an MP would give to the prime minister. There's 150 contracts that need you to give this to your people. That's cookery. And you know that's corruption. They don't want to change that. That's why a third party could never win. They could run rhetoric, but they can't never win, because when the PLP win or FNM win, the system already designed where they have persons who have tested of their hand like an octopus. They already own businesses. They already know that they can get a government contract, a garbage contract, a graveyard contract, a verge contract. They need accountability and fair play. They love it the way they are. That's the system, and we will continue to have the system for our children to have, no matter what we say. Even though you speak in the right, people hearing you, Lincoln being hearing them, you know. But are they going to support him? No. You know why? Because if you give them a chance, then those persons who've been sucking either the PLP or FNM will lose their chances. There'll never be equal fairness for all in this country. There'll always be this rhetoric and this crockery. When the PLP went in 67, it was a different time. Sir Lyndon only could do what he could do so far. Then he passed the mantle. So when Christie reached or Ingham reached, they were sat down by these persons you know, which I'll say the white man regime, and tell him, look, set aside. Because you remember in 67, when Sir Lyndon talked about eradicating the white, or what do you call it, the racist communities, which would have been life the key at the time. Remember, he had to back on that. Because these people have the money. People already monopolized on all of the system, the sand, the salt, the ragonite. They have the money system from the UBP era. So no matter what we say, no matter what we do, we could always do what we're doing right now. Talk, bring it forward, but to see real change, it won't happen, because both parties, families, friends, and lovers, already control the monopoly the system, their family already eating, drinking, their family going to private school. They don't want to lose this kind of opportunity. So no matter what happens, we'll always forever die of corruption.
Wow. What say you, Dr. Tinko?
Listen, Nicole, I have some strong points, but that's why in every constitution it has something called tyranny. Mm. How do you eradicate the tyranny? Mm. And you eradicate the tyranny by a conscious mindset of the people understanding how it thinks. Right. Yeah, the Bahamas needs a reset.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a reset on the economic wealth, the 1%, the middle class, it all needs a reset because you got a couple people down there that are, you know, Leslie Miller like to call them hogs, that owned up so much stuff that the new generations coming will never be a part of the Bahamas.
My Lord.
They might live in this bubble, but the eastern and the western corridors of the Bahamas, they're in a totally different world compared to the rest of Nassau and different parts of the Caribbean. So to do that, you would need that transformational prime minister that would come in and say, you know what, with these powers vested in me, I'm going to change the status quo in this country. To wrap up what he's saying about contracts, to me, I think contracts, the way they've been doing it down there, it is the most laziest, bastardized system that a government could ever create. Because you know why? They have no ideas.
Mm.
They have no vision on how to regulate an economy or how to get people working. So let me just give people side road contract, grass contract, giving contracts to plumber that don't even know what a 2-inch pipe is or don't even know what glue is. What are you doing? You need to generate industries.
Yeah.
You know, when I was there, I've never seen young Bahamian women and men cutting grass on the side of the road. That was something for foreigners to do. Now you see in Bahamian, some women, not all of them, some women, they're so happy to get that grass contract to go cut the grass and clean up on the side of the road because they MP give them that and they want this contract. It is insane. The government to think this is something vital for them to do. Let me create contracts for my soldiers and for the people that directly voted in me so I could keep them loyal to me. That's all it is, but it's not transformational on any level.
My Lord. Let's run. I love this show. Let's run back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Yes, good afternoon to Anku and to Tinko.
Yes, sir.
I love to think, Dr. Tinko. I know about Tinko that I went to school with. And it's not much of them here in the Bahamas. She was a very bright lady, and it was a lady in customs as a mother. I don't know if that's your family. Denise Tinko, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm listening to you, and I'm agreeing with everything. I agree that democracy, parliamentary democracy, is an hypocrisy. And so one of the things that I have Keisha Ellis' book in my hand, and I'm skimming through it, and I'm looking at some very key points. And one of the things, I'd like to thank also for writing this. One of the basic things that I pay attention to is the fact that you said the Constitution is supreme law of the Bahamas and belongs to the people of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. All right?
Right.
And then it goes on to say some other stuff. But the fact that it is the people and it belongs to the people. And so I had an argument with an Abbott caller a few weeks ago concerning the amount of cabinet ministers that are allowed. And so we see where that is abused, where it's supposed to be 8, I think.
Or 9.
And it's more than doubled. So I was looking at all of these things, and then I'm glad you mentioned the mechanisms for a rule of no confidence, a vote of no confidence, which I highly believe in. Voices wait 5 years, blood, sweat, and tears. Nobody cares, right? I'm very, very keen to what's going on. And so the only thing I want you to enlighten me on is I'm frightened because it actually, and Uncle, do me a favor. I hope Guardian, I know Keisha Ellis is very busy. But I'd like for it to come on because I have here where it's actually saying the Bahamas must have a governor general who represents the Queen. So I'm not saying that she's saying this. The governor general is appointed by the Queen, right, and can be removed at any time by the Queen.
Appointed by the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I know that, but that's what's in her book. These people represent the Queen in any which event, because I remember reading sometime in the same book where it spoke about the removal of the Commission of the Police and some other tenure things, right, in which they have to consult with the Governor General. And then I look at the decisions made by the Governor General, and there she follows certain decisions she make after consulting the cabinet or whatever. But then there are certain decisions, and I have it right in front of me, that she makes. It's about six or seven decisions that she makes without any of them. And so we know that the Governor General was just an insert or an imposition by the royalties from England. And that's a way to keep their interests here. And so when you look at, let's say, the power of a proclamation, et cetera, et cetera, and removing the Chief Justice and all these different things, and as far as relating to us, I could go and look, I could just read it out, but I don't have to. But what I'm saying is there are instances in which the Governor General is independent from the decisions of Cabinet, et cetera, et cetera. But the way how the system is set up, I totally agree with you. And it's like, what are we voting for then? You understand what I'm saying? And so,
see, you said all of that. And that's where my mind is be hovering over that same question consistently.
What are you voting for?
Yeah.
And one thing I agree with the doctor on is the fact that that constitutional review. But for me, I'm seeing where, like, something that he said that I agree with, we have taken what Massa has given us and run with it and used it as a playbook, and then we're supposed to achieve some type of revolutionary type way of life under the same yoke that they chew on us. And it for me, the abuse of the cabinet is a way to maintain power. So even as I speak about the Constitution, like I said, and I want Dr. Tinker to comment on this, because I have a PhD in common sense, and I've been following geopolitics for 30-something years. So Constitution, right, and sovereignty don't exist if you're not willing to fight for it to be upheld. That's what I'm saying. I just comment, because I see most of us as just sheep on the plantation, and people just get mad at me for saying it because they don't read an ounce of philosophy. Give thanks.
Thank you, 52.
Listen, the caller, he's spot on. Mm. That's why when I teach this class called American Government, which is a boring class, exciting for me but boring for students, because they consider it boring because it's something that they have to do. They have to do it.
Right?
They don't. So it all makes sense to you. You got to understand, when the U.S. separated from the U.K., they hated the U.K. so much that they designed this document to do everything to protect them from central government.
Mm.
When you look at the U.S. Constitution in its entirety, they wanted to be separated. They didn't want. That's why they didn't take anything from the U.K. when they were separated.
Mm.
They kept their system of courts and different things, but the U.S. set it up very differently so it could benefit the people of the new country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that was never done in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tinker with that document enough.
Yeah.
You know, like one thing down there I want to be very clear that I hate, even as someone who would have went to school in England for law school. But this whole thing, the way it's bastardized in the Bahamas, freedom of speech, they use the slibel and slander law saying you can't talk because something's before the court. I just hate that whole idea.
Yes, that comes up a lot. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a part of the case.
Right.
What I say will not infect the case at all. Right. But this is another way of the former colonial in England. That's how they control what you say. Through slibel and slander laws.
My Lord. They
suppress your freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in the U.S. Constitution, it's very explicit in the First Amendment. You have the right, the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the right to petition, freedom of religion, and the right to assembly. That was in the First Amendment. They say, listen, we ain't signing this document and left that in there.
Wow.
Because we went through the experience with the Crown of them suppressing these five things.
Mm. Guardian Radio today, a special guest, Dr. Rudolph Tinker. We're talking politics, rum shop politics versus transformational politics. Callers, we see you. We're going to come to you right after the break. Keep it locked here on 96.9 FM.
Don't settle for ordinary when you can have the Farmhouse King, only at Burger King Nassau.
It's back!
Mm-hmm. Sink your teeth into 100% flame-grilled beef, stacked with crisp bacon, melty American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and the bold sauce that adds the perfect kick for a flavor sensation fit for a king. Grab the Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or go all in with the Farmhouse King's Feast. It's bigger, it's better, and it's only at Burger King Nassau.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment.
Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Now let me see now, 326-EPIC. Hello, hello, this Epic, Eckert Battery. This Miss Bueller from around the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on what
about time? I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio Today with your host, Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. A special guest today, Dr. Rudolph Tinker, and we're talking rumshot politics versus transformational politics. I have a texter here, Dr. Tinker. I want you to respond to Dr. Tinker. The texter says, is doing the same thing the callers do, eloquently describing the symptoms we can all observe. Properly describing the problem is 80% of the action. So the problem must be described to clearly define the problem, including the absolute steps needed to resolve the root of the problem. We often get plans and strategies reversed. Strategies is the vision slash description, while a plan is the actual steps to be taken, timelines, applications, key performance indicators, etc. So Dr. Tinker,
That text message, like he wants me to put a bib on you and feed you some baby food. But I just, in the Constitution, that person took the time to send that text message because they probably heard all this rhetoric mm-hmm. of all these years of people saying A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Lyndon Pitlin created COB because he knew the power of education. Mm-hmm. Okay, he knew that he needed to educate his people. He created PMH because he knew that you have to keep your population healthy. Created industries because you got to give your people some sort of wealth. Yeah. Now, what happened 25 years down the road is what we're suffering from today.
Yeah.
If the citizenry understands how government work and how government function and understand their power or their position in the cycle of government, mm-hmm. then it's very easy to carry out the role.
Right.
You carry out the role every 5 years, but you carry it out in a rumshop design, political design. Mm-hmm. But if you go back and you take a step back, you have the right to petition to make the changes. Mm-hmm. You march up and down the street protesting. That's a part of your right. Mm-hmm. The Constitution guarantees you that mm-hmm. when you go downtown and you petition.
Yeah.
But then when you make all the noise, what are you doing with the noise?
Ah.
See, this is the whole thing. So mm-hmm. the caller has some points there, but it's what do you do with this noise?
Right.
When the people come because they want you to vote for them, you're telling them this noise, but as soon as they go and they get elected, they change their phone numbers and you can't hear from them. Why wait long now? I get vote. I said, what? For me, a day is long.
Right.
5 years is an eternity.
Right.
Go back on the street, petition, shut the place down, and let the Prime Minister resign.
Transform the country.
Mm-hmm. And reform the country.
Yes.
Don't sit there and send these elaborate texts when you're not participating in the process. Some people are too embarrassed or ashamed to go to petition.
Yep.
Because why? They're worried about their job. They're so scared to vote for a different color because Dan will lose their job. Dan will lose their contract. Get on. This country is so saturated in this rumshot politics and political parties that, like Professor Thompson said, it's almost a tentacle in your house, in your phone, on your cell phone, reading your text messages. Everybody watching you. Boy, I thought he was an FNM, but now he's voting PLP. Mm-hmm. Boom, fire him or do this. The vindiction down there is just too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Calling you live here on Guardian Radio today.
Uncle.
How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Professor.
What's happening, brother?
Be radio on Step Street inside the shop. Mm. Listening, man. What a breath of fresh air, man.
Hey, amen. What's going on, Gardner? Long time, brother.
Yeah. Be listening, man.
Good.
Professor. What you think now, coming up at the election next year, God permit, if you want to answer it, what you really see now with these three party, who's going to come out the gate head on, or what it's worth?
Okay, thank you. I think this is a very unique thing in the Bahamas that I think that's never been done. When we understand what Brave Davis has done, or the PLP has done, and I think he has done this on the recommendation from a guy called Gilbert Morris, to wipe out, or not really to wipe out, but to recruit the majority of the media and bring them on your side is almost like eradicating the Florida state. Because everybody that was talking against you and holding your feet to the fire that the opposition was doing, but it aided to the opposition even more. Now you've appointed them to all of these little croony positions. People should look at that and be very concerned about that.
Yeah.
He's disrupting the balance of power. You know, you still got the radio shows on the air, but take a look at this. When I was down there from 2014 to 17, the radio decided the government. The radio was hot. You had an Auckland Bodie, you had Carlton Smith, you had Luby Georges, you had
Juan McCartney,
which came after Carlton Smith. But you had some strong radio house that was mashing up the government on every turn. Now all these people are absorbed into the government.
No more Florida State.
You almost worry about the Florida State.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if listening to radio shows as hard as it used to be back in between 2014 to 17. It was very hot. You know, so what I see this time coming through, I see the PLP has put together a formidable team, even to the tune of recruiting a Sabath, the guy that owns Island Luck, which again, I've heard the conversation and that people think he has the right. The whole thing is basically, what message are you sending? If one point in history, a certain sport was prohibited, someone would have been in that particular sport, made money in that sport, and now trying to legitimize this stuff is almost like a mafia story. They make money the wrong way, now they want to legitimize. I mean, what story is that sending to young people? Should I really work hard and bust my butt to make it, or should I walk around the law, make my money, become legitimate, and then run for public office?
Wow.
So I think really that's a bad statement. But the PLP, you know, they're looking pretty promising, and, you know, they just brought Green Slade from the UK. I mean, so they're putting some big heavy hitters out there. The opposition side has been struggling, a lot of internal strife. So, you know, that sends a bad signal, and to even have a former that shows some division, COI with
Lincoln Bean.
You know, he's making some noise, he's making some traction, but the problem is, like I said earlier, when Bahamians cast that vote, the last thing they're thinking about is what you're going to do for what you're going to do for the country. That yep. vote goes directly to what you're going to do for me right now.
My Lord.
Not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them use that as a bargaining chip. Quid pro quo. Listen, my son needs one scholarship. I won't get my family some government job. I need to clear these back taxes. You know, not everybody. Let me make sure now. Don't get upset with everybody.
Right.
A lot of people use that vote as a bargaining tool. I got 10 votes in my house.
Yep.
And I want this, this, and this, and this.
Yep.
And when they get what they want, well, let's ride out the 5 years and see what happens. Let me make noise at 4 years and 5 months.
And the hell with the country. Let's run back. Let's turn back to the phone lines here on Guardian Radio today. Call you live.
Hey, Uncle. How you doing, my brother?
I'm well. How you doing?
And this is going to be the very first time I actually talk to or address Professor Tinker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his name.
Yes.
I heard his voice before on the radio, but this is the first opportunity I'm going to have a chance to have a conversation.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to join.
10 years.
I tell you, it's a good day. I'm going to join Gardner in saying that it is a breath of fresh air. I've been listening all along to the commentary, and I'm going to tell you, bring about some very, very salient points, and I'm hoping that the Bahamian people who are listening is really taking, have a notepad and actually taking notes. You know, first and foremost, buying out, and you might as well call it for what it is. The Ford estate was bought out.
Mm-hmm.
And we know why they were bought out. You call some very, you call some names who appeared to be very powerful in the media a few years ago, and now their voices are silent.
Oh.
You know, that is a cause to be concerned. You know, we talk about the Constitution, and you know, the irony of the whole thing about the Constitution and the government is that the current government, most of them who hold in the top posts are actually lawyers. And sometimes I sit down and wonder, is it a blessing or a curse that they are not tampering with the Constitution? Because I don't think many of them even know what they're doing in Parliament. Okay, I'm being very succinct. You watch the moves and you watch the actions, and it seems as if the hard work that really needs to be done is not being done. And when
they're
you
not
criticize
them not
constructively
it.
For the lackluster job that they're doing, because they're not right now on the ground, as many of us are. We are on the ground. We listen to the voices. We see what's going on in these communities. We hear the commentary of other Bahamians who are afraid to lend their voices on the radio or even on social media. You know, it's a resounding clap, like a thunder, that a lot of people are dissatisfied with the way this country is being governed and the way this government, this current administration, is actually taking care of the people. There seems to be no true appreciation for what's going on for we as a people. And you're absolutely correct, Professor, when you say, you know, I often say on most of these shows that what we see here is all incidental. It's no accident. Organized chaos sells in this country, and that's what it is. The people know that they have the power in their hands, but they choose to go the way of supporting political parties instead of finding a set of people who are really serious about moving this country forward, upward, and onward.
Mm-hmm.
They are lackluster in the eyes of many persons, and they're laughing at us, and it doesn't matter to them as long as they continue to get their filthy lucre in their pockets. They don't care about the rest of us.
My Lord.
And so it's done in closing. It takes our voices, those who are brave enough. Boy, I hate using that term. Those who are bold enough to stand up and lend our voices, that we are dissatisfied with the government and the lackluster of services and privileges for the people. They're not going far enough to bring us relief, but yet we are bearing the burden of additional taxes, even for the others who are among us. It is totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I do know our parliament, who don't care about the Bahamas, don't care about God, and surely don't care about the Bahamian people. And this is the feeling of a lot of persons on the ground. Thanks for taking my call. I continue to listen. And boy, I am just praying that the Bahamas can take another 5 years of abuse from people who just don't care about us.
My
Thank
Lord.
You for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Dr. Dingles, we got one more call. I can get in like 30 seconds, and I can let you finish up. Go ahead, caller. You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, all right. Let me go quick then. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
I ended up meeting Professor Tinker. Yeah, you used to be with Bodie on the radio with Bodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I met you on a live remote in by Rhodes Auto, E Street South, where we used to interview. I met you before. But let me get this. This sermon which you preaching, you was preaching this for the last 20 years on the radio.
I ain't that old. God, I ain't been on the radio that long.
At least 15 or so then. At least 15. We just back then with more FM back in the day. And then your friend, Gardner, you need to not only listen, you need to hear. Because some of us, it's the problem. Some of us put party over country. And then a person like me, I've been voting third party for the last four elections. I have a question I got, and I hang up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the recall system? That's what we really need for these lousy MP. After 2.5 years, halfway through the term, have a recall system to get them back out of the system, man.
You have the system right now. It's through the people can petition the government with a vote of no confidence. You know, they can petition the government by going to the street, assembling, petitioning and demanding that an MP be recalled, or demanding that the Prime Minister call election. You could do all of this right now. You don't need any additional policies and rules. You could do all this now. But the last caller was very passionate with what he was saying there. And, you know, listen, this is not something for a while. You got to start with the root cause of the problem.
Yeah.
And you can't move beyond the root cause of the problem until you fix the problem. So, in this parliamentary system, actually, you have a question for me to close out, or you want?
No, I just want you to wrap it up. You could just wrap it up. Mm-hmm.
So when in this parliamentary type system, it is designed, the executive has all the power.
Mm-hmm.
There's tentacles all over the place to control every element of society.
Mm-hmm.
Party politics is almost like a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people live and breed a particular color, and they vote against their own interests.
Wow.
They vote against their own interests. But since 1973 to 2025, you know, the government is dealing with things such as a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with VAT that should have never been introduced by the PLP, because you got 250,000 people, 300,000, whatever the number is, that didn't have to have VAT on them, because all you had to do, okay, if you wanted to bring VAT, you could have just put VAT on the tourist dollar and not on your local population, and the country would be just fine, because you're collecting VAT now and you're still not seeing anything better.
Mm, exactly.
Okay? You have these heavy-duty tariffs where all you need to do is regulate local commerce and say, hey, regulate your prices, or I will remove duty and let Bahamians bring stuff in duty-free if the local business owners are so greedy. You know, you're dealing with cost of living allowance. We're having a conversation about $260 in the most expensive place in the Western Hemisphere. That's an unreal conversation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's an unreal real conversation. So when we hear someone that's talking about it, but it just goes out the left ear or the right ear, and we go back to that same rumshub politics, all these people come into your neighborhood, shaking your hand, giving you a T-shirt. Someone by the bar authorize all these drinks, get this one general. And I mean, you're wasting your time. And I think what we're missing, and I'm going to close here, we're missing the grandmothers and the great grandmothers of the Pinland era that demanded the change.
Wow.
Because Pinland couldn't do what he did without the people that was born in the 1930s and the 1940s. Those people don't exist anymore.
Wow.
And I'm being real with you. Look at your population today. Look at the youths today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the violent crime. I'm not excusing the U.S., but let's talk about the Bahamas. Look at the style of crime we have in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Where people are gunning down each other, where they're at the ATM machine, shooting in the head and raping their own kids and young girls. That people of the 1930s and the 1940s, some of them might still be alive today, but if you had a breed of those people today, the government couldn't do what they're doing. Because back then, they were very hungry.
My Lord.
For this radical change. Now, it's whatever goes. I's PLP, I's FNM, I's this, I's that, and I vote against my own interests and let the government do what they want to do, and I come back in 5 years.
Mm.
Doesn't make any sense, man.
Our special guest today was Dr. Rudolph Tinker. My brother, you know, we're going to have you back on at some point. We can't finish this conversation today, but this was a great start. So I appreciate you making the time and the effort to be here with us today. My name again is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. This has been Guardian Radio Today. Keep it locked here on 96.9 FM for fresh news, smart talk all day. Namaste, family.